Welcome to the show. I am Baron Baptiste. We're here with my good friend David Masters. We're here disrupting the drift, shattering old delusions, those things that hold you back. We're here really to bring some new ways of looking and perceiving life, looking at life, perceiving life, your life, and the people around you are affected by you. Your outlook on life, your ways of being, your ways of acting. And we're here to disrupt those things that limit you, disempower you, stop you from living the life that you were born to live. David, welcome. Welcome. What say you?
Great to be here, Baron. And yes, we are programmed to fail. So we are born to succeed, but programmed to fail. Now, what happens in that process when we come into this world? We have the responsibility sort of to navigate through it and undo the stuff that we don't want.
It's like that, right? And man, there's a lot happening in the world right now. A lot of people are shut down. A lot of people are scared, living in uncertainty, anxiety, depression, suppression of their true wants and potential in life is not being lived. I know you and I are always here in these conversations to bring a new way of looking at things, new ways of looking at life, your mind, your business, who you are for your family, friends, employees, employers, your peers, and to live your best life. So David, I have a couple of questions. So first one, friends and employees often take advantage of my kindness. What limiting beliefs do I have that are allowing for this to happen? Yeah, friends and employees are taking advantage of your kindness. Not unusual, right? Not unusual. What do you see, David, about this one?
Well, I think most people live in a state of fear. A fear of certain things that they expect to happen to them. So, for example, being kind can often be taken as weakness. And then the question is, well, when somebody begins to want to test the waters with you to see how far they can go, that's when they find out your subconscious fears and the worries that you have about being accepted, being liked. And then there's a test that goes on. And the test will be, you know, how far will you allow people to go in taking advantage of the situation and of you? I'll throw it back to you on that one.
Yeah, no, very good. I see that, the idea of being tested, and another word would be baited. It's like people bait us. You know, they kind of hand the bait. They tempt us to discover our weaknesses. You know, they test us to see, or they bait us to see how we will respond. And unconsciously, they see that we're kind, and then they're, that first time they're like very appreciative perhaps, but then they like, well, wait, that worked, that got me something. So now they test our kindness again, or our generosity. You know, it could be an employee asking for extra days off, and you're like, yeah, you know, you've been getting some good work done, and go ahead, take that trip. You could do that. And they appreciate that. But then pretty quickly, they like, you know, this boss, this guy is pretty generous, kind. So I'm going to try it again. But this time, maybe they ask for something else. Maybe they ask for a raise, or they ask for, you know, to leave early or start late, or however it plays out. And if you keep giving in, it's almost like you're training people to not respect you, or to not hold the standard, you know, the standard of what it is to show up fully and professionally and be someone who gets things done in your work, or like your other team members and players. So there's this baiting that goes on, this testing. And then, though, here's the line. So if you be kind, be generous, but then also hold a standard, right? It's not having standards And if something is driving you like, please like me. I just want to be liked. I want you to like me. Or, you know, you want to look good. You want to look like the nice guy, the nice person. You know, if you have something you need from people, right there, your standard goes low.
You know, in the military, just to give you an example, military officers eat separately from the enlisted men. And the people who are in charge, they sort of understand that the minute you become friends with the people that you have to supervise, you lose your advantage. And so there's a set of rules that you have to live by if you want to be successful in a position where you have to supervise and manage people, tell them what they can and cannot do. The minute you allow them to cozy up to you, you are bringing down your shields and you're making yourself somewhat vulnerable to exploitation, manipulation.
Yeah, yeah, very good. You know, I'm someone who never trusts, I don't trust many people fully. There's some, yeah, that I trust fully, but most people I don't trust and I don't trust fully, whether I work with them or their acquaintances or their friends. And not from a paranoid or even fearful place. It plays into having certain expectations. And I think that having expectations goes both ways. So I think if when you cross the line as a boss, let's say you're someone in higher command than you or authority than you, if you cross that line and people expect you to be their friend and they actually use that unconsciously to get more from you or get something out of you, then right there, trust is broken. You don't, as leader, you don't trust yourself because you let someone take advantage of you, or you don't trust that person. You trust that person even less because you don't have those boundaries or those standards in place. So trust is key, but the trust I'm talking about is trusting yourself and your inner guidance. You're trusting your, you know, you're acting in congruence with your conscience. You're answering the call of your conscience, which will always naturally have you first lead yourself, and it naturally allows a boundary to be in place for whatever the relationship there is, if it's within work or within family or within any groups you're involved with, you know, people at church or what have you.
Yeah, I want to go back to the military for a minute because, for example, in the Navy SEALs, you know, their training is designed to eliminate people who cannot stand up to the rigors, to the difficulty of being in a cohesive group of other men. Ronald Reagan said it this way. He said, trust but verify. Now, trust is something that has to be earned. And whenever I find that there are people who are trying to be too nice to me or, you know, to try to compliment you kind of profusely and try to make you feel good, I always feel a little creepy about that. And some people don't know that they're even doing it. But at the same time, trust must always be earned. And the other part of it is that not everybody's cut out to be a manager type, because managers have to have a sort of solitariness to them. In other words, their group of friends are outside of the environment that they have to manage by necessity, because you cannot afford to have a moments of weakness with people in critical situations. I mean, the military is probably the best example I can think of. Mm-hmm. And so the people that wash out doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't fit to serve in whatever capacity, but they're not necessarily meant to go on in a, you know, in a cohesive group of men that will do anything for the other men. That is something that has to be established through those trials and tribulations.
Yeah, I have a second question here. You good to move on?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
I'm dealing with a lot of chaos in my life. An alcoholic, addicted business partner who's now in treatment. My business is struggling. How do I keep growing as a person and creating momentum forward in the face of these issues? It's a good question.
It's an important question because we all face challenges in life. And I think the key to this one is your energy. You know, your life is like a battery. You only have so much energy to expend on anything. There are times when people will kind of grab on thinking that if they let go of a situation that's just dragging you down, because clearly this person is saying, I want to move forward. You know, my business is failing. I have this friend who and a partner who is, you know, an alcoholic. But see, here's a difference now. We have to make distinctions. Why am I not an alcoholic and the other person is? Well, that's because I deal with stress differently than my partner. My partner has a tendency to let me handle all the most difficult situations. And when I go back to that person and say, okay, I'm handling as much as I can. Now it's your turn to take some of this off of me. Those people have a tendency to crumble. It kind of goes back to the last equation, which is some people are simply not meant to be in positions of leadership or control. Some people are better taking orders than they are giving them. So in this situation, if I look up the word chaos, one of the synonyms of chaos is hell, jumble, mess, misorder, muddle. I mean, we go to the idea that when something's in chaos, there's some force there that's disrupting that person. That's what we're all about here, is disrupting the drift. And the drift is something that sometimes people cannot avoid. Now, the question is, how far will you drift with them, Baron?
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of Churchill. Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Yeah.
You know, my father used to say something I remember that stuck with me through a lot of different points in my life when I was dealing with opposition or struggle or challenges in life, difficult times in life, which was have a sense of where you're going. Have a sense of where you're going, but take your eyes off of all that and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Short steps, long journey. And then he said, and eventually you'll look up and you'll be where you wanted to go. It was something like that. Like, be more in the present moment and see the light shining on the 10 feet that's right in front of you. And then take those steps forward. In the present moment, you see the pathways to take, you see which ways to go, and it's leading you to where you're wanting to go and who you're wanting to be, but not attached to the outcome or getting some place, because then your eyes get taken off the present and you go blurry, you go dull, you go gray in your sight. And the other side of it, what blinds us is expectation. So if you have an expectation that your life should have no problems, or you have an expectation that your life should be easeful or easy, and therefore, you know, having an alcoholic, addicted business partner is all wrong, and you resist that, or the chaos that's coming up in your life, or your business struggles, if you're bringing expectations that it should be some other way and you've got some ideal vision of how it's supposed to be, it blinds you to the present moment and you don't see the short steps to take. And that leads me to the third point here for this question, is execution. So you actually see the steps to take, the short steps, again, short steps, long journey, but it's the short steps. What is there to take or to do this day? It might be to just stop and meditate, just pause and come into stillness as a starting point and connect to your inner conscience and get in alignment and congruence with your conscience, your inner knowing, and let that be your guide. Maybe it's physical movement, exercise, you know, the right foods to eat, taking care of the creature in such a way that it connects you to your creator, and from creator to creature, you then are creating each step. You're executing the tasks. Maybe it's in your business. There are certain tasks you need to take, and maybe it's just a few tasks, one or two or three, but you keep executing as you're going through hell. You keep moving forward. And if you keep moving through it and moving forward, you don't get stuck in it. And it's actually what will create the momentum forward in the face of struggles, opposition, whatever it is you're dealing with, and you'll come out the other side a bigger, stronger person with greater character rather than bitter and broken.
Yeah, it's very profound what your dad said, and it's very important for a lot of reasons because, as you said about expectations, if you are not watching where you are going, because that's what happens when you take your eyes off of the path that you're on and you put your eyes out in the horizon somewhere, you can be going in a direction, but suddenly you're looking at it from such a long perspective that just looking at where you're going tires you out. As opposed to when I was a kid, sometimes I had to walk home from school. It was several miles. I mean, it was probably 3 or 4 miles. I had terrible shoes that hurt my feet, and I remember how bad my feet hurt. But when I focused just in the 10 feet, like you said, in front of me, suddenly I forgot how far I had to go. And sure enough, exactly as you said, I would arrive at home and I would think to myself, how did I get here? I don't remember going all that distance. You know what I mean? It's very interesting. And it's almost like a form of objectivity that when you put your mind in the moment and just look at that 10 feet in front of you, that it pulls you back into the activity of that moment. And you're not going far ahead of yourself. You're not lagging in the past, thinking about other things. You're just in the now. The other thing I wanted to say is with regard to the partner, there's no judgment on a person who breaks down and ends up with having issues other than they can make you feel guilty if you let them, because you know that you can only handle so much in your own life. You should never judge people when they're going through a difficult time. But at the same time, you are not their savior. You can help them. And if you don't judge them in a way, you're kind of helping them save face by saying, look, I'm not judging you. I would like to see you be able to regain control over your life. Maybe sometimes that's all people need is somebody that steps back and doesn't have some kind of judgment and doesn't do the value judgment thing, but just really cares enough to say, what can I do to help you regain control of your life? Because sometimes that's all you can say or do.
Yeah, I appreciate what you just said, that not judging. It may be very inconvenient to discover that you have a business partner who's, you know, got a very serious problem and it's impacting you, it's impacting your business, it's impacting employees if you have them, it's impacting the whole of it. And it's a real problem. But if you start judging it, you start adding difficulty, start adding resistance that, you know, and you add resentment, and then you add fear, and then you add the whole story, the drama around it, and it grows into a much bigger monster than stepping back. The default is to become the victim in that situation, right? You're getting set up for that through judgment and blame and fault and... But if you can get still, you pause, press the pause button, stop the mental chatter, stop, drop in to your body, into the present moment, now here, open your eyes, fall awake, and look around at your life. You've got a pulse, you've got a heartbeat, you made some dumb mistakes. I'm sure there were plenty of red flags all over the place with that business partner before you even went into that relationship, likely, or somewhere it developed along the way, and you had nothing, you didn't say anything about it. You kept stepping over it or glossing over it, ignoring it, and the problem just got bigger and bigger, and now it's blown up in your face. And there's something to learn in this situation. There's something to discover about yourself, your own standards, your own boundaries, what you're willing to put up with or tolerate or ignore, because it gives you something. You get something out of ignoring it, the problem. If you didn't get something from it, maybe it's just even you get to be the judge, jury, and executioner, or maybe it somehow takes you off the hook from having to be responsible because you get to blame them or something. But if you just stop and you actually take responsibility, remember responsibility is the ability to respond. And if you respond from an inner composure, from a higher source of strength, and just handle what there is to handle, deal with what there is to deal. Maybe your partner just needs to take care of themselves for a while. Maybe they need some support, or maybe you need to dump them, like find a way out. And only you can know that, right? No one's in your shoes, but you'll know what to do if you are in your center and if you're in alignment and congruence with your own conscience, you'll know.
I have spoken with you about the situation I faced, which was I did have a business partner who ended up having a drug and alcohol problem, and I didn't know it. I didn't suspect it at all. Why? Because I was busy taking care of my end of things. I was upholding every single part of what I needed to do, and I didn't actually have the situational awareness, maybe. I don't know. But you know what? People are very sneaky, and they're very good at hiding the things they don't want other people to know about. That person literally ruined 20 years of my life because of their inability to control their life. Now, had I known, I would have done exactly what I said. How can I help you regain control over your life? But you know what's interesting, Baron? Everything works for the good for those who love what's right, okay? And doing what's right. And, you know, it did ruin my life, but at the same time, I got a new one out of it. And so, you know, for me to be bitter and walk around angry all the time about it, that would have destroyed me. So I had to let it go. And, you know, there's times in life where you just have to have things that go wrong in order for you to be free to begin to live that new life that you're thinking you want to live, but you didn't even know it.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Very well said. You know, it's a certain way of being with life that even when, okay, it's your fault. I could see, like, I remember having a CEO, someone I hired, and, you know, I'm off traveling the world doing trainings and seminars and public speaking and interviews, you know, away and, you know, taking my hands off the steering wheel of my business and not present to what's going on. And then I discover, okay, this person is, well, it looks like they're mismanaging funds. But when you start pulling the curtain open, all of a sudden, you know, an accountant calls me, a bookkeeper, and says, can I talk to you privately? And I think there's something else going on here. It's not measuring up. So you pull the curtain open, you lift up the rock, and then you discover, well, this person is not only misspending or overspending irresponsibly, you know, company funds, but they're also pocketing money. And they're like, wait, there's actually stealing going on, like criminal, right? And I'm like, okay, so the first thing is to cast blame over there. And then it's like, well, it's their fault and they shouldn't have done it. And they shouldn't have done all that. And though at some level, if I'm, get totally still and quiet, you know, back then and just kind of look, I'm like, wait, I knew. My inner sense, my conscience knew something didn't smell right. Yeah, on paper, it all looked right. You know, all the reporting that it was coming back, it all looked proper and the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. But then at some level, I wasn't responsible. I took both hands off the steering wheel. Since then, I've learned I've always have to keep at least one hand on the steering wheel of my business and dealings, right? But I didn't get bitter about it. I saw it, cut my losses. It cost a lot. There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, really, if I look at it. And I cut the loss. I shake the dust off my feet. I learn what there is to learn. In my failure, I extract the gold out of the failure, and then I drop all the rest of it, and I take the gold forward. And the gold is the learning there, the lessons there. And really, for me, most all learning I've ever got that's real and any good is through failings. And so when things do go awry, or you wake up one day and you're like, okay, I've got an addicted alcoholic business partner and there's chaos and the business is failing and I've got, you know, people betraying me or attacking me, or online cancel culture's coming after you. See it all as an opportunity. It's preparatory for greatness. It's preparatory and necessary for your growth. If everything was going easeful all the time, you end up slothful. All right. Thank you all for listening. If you got any value from the show today, please share the show. Subscribe. Turn on the notifications so you get it notified every time we drop a new show. Share the show. It helps us fulfill our mission and purpose, which is for you to live your life in excellence, in purpose. Because when you're living your best life and improving yourself and living in excellence for yourself, you change the world for the better. So thank you all. Be well. Thank you, David.